Broncos cheerleaders, and you're listening to Sports Crunch with D-Crom.
Good morning, afternoon, or evening, wherever or whenever you catch the kittens are. This is Sports Crunch with D-Crom. I'm your host, David Cromwell. And when you hear these words, we will be just over 2 weeks away from the 2023 NFL Draft, and we have a lot of content headed your way from now until the Carolina Panthers are officially put on the clock April 27th. Six more stops on our annual NFL Draft Divisional Tour, a final first-round mock with my right-hand man, Hal Bent, just a few days before the draft, and for the fourth consecutive year, a live stream during the first round as the picks come in. But before all that, we still have one more position group of prospects to dig into, off-ball linebackers. And who better to help us do so today than our good friend Bill Carroll, NFL draft analyst from Team NBS Media. Bill, it is seriously becoming one of my favorite annual traditions to have you and your incredible expertise on our program weekly during the lead up to the draft. How are you doing today?
This is my favorite time of year, I'll be honest. I enjoy anything that's associated with football, but this particular thing is my thing, right? Yeah. Since the age of probably junior high school, probably 12 or so, I've been obsessed with the NFL draft. So this, for me, I've written about the draft every year since 1982. Whoa. So this will be the 41st year, is that right? Well, it's really the 40th because that was the 82, 83 year. So this will be 40th. It'll be the 40th year that I've written something for somebody somewhere about the NFL draft. That's insane. So this is my thing. This is the thing that I do.
That might be insane, at least according to you, but to me, it's nothing short of admirable. 40 years of doing this time-consuming task of digging into the film of all these prospects and analyzing it. And obtaining whatever intel you can on a prospect and analyzing that as well. It just takes a lot of time and effort, and you've been at it for 40 years and counting, with many more to come, God willing, and you just deserve a toast, Bill. So thanks. A big toast to you and your work for the past 40 years. And when we began our 2023 Dash to the Draft series, your colleague Jeff Barnes was our guest. And Jeff told me on that program that this linebacker group is one of the weakest positions in this year's draft. Do you agree with him or do you disagree with him?
I don't disagree. And the thing is, particularly at the top, there's value to be had later, but there's really only one guy amongst the linebackers that I have as a no doubt definite top 40 prospect. And we'll talk about him, I'm sure, in a few moments. Then there's some people that I think could slide their way into the top 60 to 75, a couple of those. And then there's a bit of a gap. And then towards the bottom of the third, there are some guys that I think will be sort of, like I said, value picks. And then to me, most of the linebackers that will be picked in this draft, that's who are not pass rushers, basically, will be picked day three. The majority of them, I would say probably all but eight or nine are probably day three type players.
Oh, that's an excellent point, Bill. Versatility is the name of the game when it comes to today's off-ball linebacker or stack linebacker position, as some GMs say. And at least one of those top two linebackers in this class, if not the best one, is Trenton Simpson of Clemson. And when you look at Trenton Simpson, this guy is a very versatile player who has such jaw-dropping range that Clemson even lined him up at corner on occasion. He is also underrated as a run defender and can rush the passer either off the edge or up the middle on a linebacker blitz. But that kind of sounds like another versatile Clemson Tiger linebacker who was a top 10 pick in 2020 in Isaiah Simmons. That said, Isaiah Simmons is now headed into his fourth season and still lacks a clearly defined role for the Arizona Cardinals. And when it comes to Trenton Simpson, what is the absolute best role for him off the bat that you could think of?
He should be used the way he was in college. And this is what got, frankly, people in trouble with Isaiah Simmons. They said, okay, we're going to grab this guy that's played this position and that is in the other positions. He's played a little bit of Jack linebacker. He's played a little bit of Will linebacker, a little bit of Mike linebacker. He's played some safety. You know, he's played some nickelback. We're going to just make him a Will linebacker and just that. Sometimes a player is what he is. And you can sometimes try to make someone into something else. Look at what Trenton Simpson was. I would initially have him play as a DPR, designated pass rusher, and then bring him into certain package situations. So let's say you're playing, you know, like a 3-2-6, right? You're a dime and you've got three down linemen, two linebackers, and six defensive backs. I would use Trenton Simpson as an add-on pass rusher. So that means that he's covering a running back if that running back comes out in coverage. He hasn't. But if he stays in, green dog, meaning that he blitzes automatically based on what that, if that running back stays in to protect, he's coming in and he's attacking it. Trenton Simpson is a good enough athlete and powerful enough, though he's not terribly big, that I would say probably only a handful of running backs can handle him in terms of having to block him. He's going to win that battle, I would say, 8 times out of 10. 2 times he'll lose it, but I like 8 out of 10. That's still pretty good odds, David. So I would use him initially as a package player. He comes in this situation, comes in that situation. I want to get him pass rushing against people who are not offensive linemen. If you're a tight end, I want him going at you. If you're a wide receiver, as the Rams often do, they all have wide receivers wham block, right? Which is one of the things that made it so cool, where you would have a, you know, a misdirection run play, and who's coming out to dig out the in-man line scrimmage? Cooper Kupp, right? Robert Woods. But they did it. Like, that was part of what made everything made it so cool. They had really willing and polished, successful blockers as who were terrific wide receivers. But most teams don't have Cooper Kupp, you see. So most of the time, when a wide receiver is blocking Trenton Simpson, it's a big-time win for Trenton Simpson. So I'm going to have him be that add-on pass rusher. He can cover well enough. He can cover most running backs. I mean, Christian McCaffrey might give him trouble. But the vast majority of the running backs in the league, he can cover. So that's why I'm really going to have him do. I'm going to have him be that guy who is my add-on pass rusher. He can cover backs. He can even cover slots in a, you know, as you said, in a pinch. But I want him pass rushing against people who do not block for a living. It's not their major, right? They've studied it, but it's not their major, right? Right? Yeah. I took Spanish, but I didn't major in Spanish, David. So if you're anything other than an offensive lineman, you didn't major in blocking. Trenton Simpson is going to beat those people who didn't major in blocking because he majored in pass rushing. He dabbled in other things, but he majored as a pass rusher.
Very precise words of wisdom for whatever team drafts Trent Simpson. Use him as a designated add-on pass rusher to begin with and go from there. And another intriguing linebacker prospect at this year's draft is Arkansas's Drew Sanders. And Drew Sanders, this is a guy who began his college football career at Alabama, where he primarily was an edge defender for Nick Saban. Yep. And he subsequently transferred to Arkansas last year with the intention of playing more off-ball linebacker. And he did exactly that, but he also played 20% of his snaps on the edge last season for the Razorbacks, where he registered 5 sacks and 17 total pressures. And the dilemma when it comes to Drew Sanders, for whoever selects him, is to either make him a pass rusher most of the time or to continue and develop his still raw off-ball linebacker chops and make him a Tremaine Edmonds kind of weapon for your defense. And Lance Zierlein of NFL.com believes that Drew Sanders can evolve into the latter, while Doug Farrar of the USA Today Touchdown Wire believes Sanders will be best as a full-time pass rusher with a healthy amount of added box snaps a la Connor Barwin. Do you agree with Lance Zierlein or Doug Farrar's assessment here and why?
Ooh, you put me on the spot because he's two of my favorites, right? shout out to Doug. I could spend some time with him at the Combine. He's one of my favorites, always has been. I have enormous respect for Lance Zierlein. Both of those men and I have shared our thoughts on Twitter. I mean, I hope you won't be mad at me, but they're both right. And I'll tell you what I mean by that. if you want to get him on the field a lot instantaneously, then you're going to go the Mike Vrabel, Connor Barwin hybrid role, where it's like the elephant, right? Willie McGinnis, right? That position where he's going to come in. And yes, at times he will have his hand in the dirt. At times he'll be standing up. But essentially, he is mostly a pass rusher. However, we've watched him drop into coverage. He didn't look half bad doing it. So, I mean, even DeMarcus Ware, who was technically speaking a linebacker, dropped into coverage. Now, not very often, quite frankly, but he didn't look bad doing it. He didn't embarrass himself. It's like, oh yeah, look at him. Look at that. They're dropping DeMarcus Ware into coverage. You all kind of go, hey, look at that. DeMarcus Ware is in coverage. But it happened just enough so that you wouldn't always expect him to come. I would do that. I would treat him like, I mean, he's not DeMarcus Ware, but I treat him sort of like that kind of player, like Willie McGinnis, like that kind of player. But with the mindset that I would slowly but surely give him more and more to do that was more like a real linebacker as time went on. Because as he loses a little bit of that just pure athletic ability, he won't just beat people as often, as simply, as easy early in his career. Now, he'll pick up things that'll help him to still be effective, but you can get immediate return on a really athletic player by just saying, go out there and be a better athlete than any offensive tackle in the NFL, right? Because you should be. You should be a better athlete. You are a smaller, quicker person. Give that guy some extra trouble. That as he learns more, sees more, the game slows down, as they say, now I'm going to say, hey, cover tight ends down the field. Now I'm going to ask you to, you know, drop into zone coverage sometimes and maybe, you know, do some robber type stuff and get some free interceptions, at least get your hand on the ball. Now I'm going to ask him to do actual run fits, right? Actually go ahead. Hey, fit up this run. Read that key and decide whether you're going to go to that shoulder or that shoulder of a guard. He's not there yet, but I believe he'll get there. So I sort of feel sort of crummy about doing it this way, but everyone's right. He could be used, and that's why he's an exciting prospect. That's why he's a chance to be in the top 60, and I think he is. And some people think he's into the first round. The only thing that makes me think he might get there is the Patriots. The Patriots don't care about everyone else's draft board. They only care about their own. And the Patriots will look at a player that everyone else has rated as a top 50 or top 60 player, and they'll take him in the late first and think nothing of it. Once again, the Cole Strange situation. Everyone else is like, oh my God, Cole Strange. And the Patriots like, we feel like we got him three or four picks later than we had him rated. Like, we feel fine. So the Patriots are different, right? And I don't want to go too far down this road, but remember, 23 NFL teams either subscribe to Blesto National Football Scouting or both, meaning that they have a pool of scouts that contribute information, especially towards the beginning of the year, about, hey, here's players you might want to have on your board. Amongst the teams that issue this and say, nope, we're good, we have our own way of doing things, are the Patriots. In fact, they are the flag bearer for the, no, thank you, we're going to do it our own way. And they are the most doing it their own way of all the teams in the NFL. So I could see them taking a guy like Sanders late first. But he's most likely a second rounder, but I'm a big fan of him for all the things I just discussed.
Very good point, Bill. And a linebacker who has really helped himself this past month or so is Jack Campbell out of Iowa. Jack Campbell turned heads at the combine with a 6.74 second three cone drill, and he was just listed as a top 50 prospect by Daniel Jeremiah in his latest rankings. However, Campbell's game film doesn't necessarily reflect his athletic testing numbers, as he appears to lack suddenness in his movements. But a big reason for that could be him spending an extra second or so diagnosing the play, and instincts are a huge, if not the biggest, part of what makes his game so good. Even if Jack Campbell's play never lives up to that athleticism, does the team that selects him have every reason to believe he will be a high-floor, long-term starter for them?
There are certain players where you say, worst-case scenario, this is going to be a really good football player. And if he does nothing, if he never develops another iota above what he is right this very second, I have a good football player. Jack Campbell's floor is as high as any player in the entire draft class. He has almost no bust potential. Now, of course, I'll make him look like an idiot when he's out of the league in 2 years, but I don't think it's going to happen. But I truly believe that worst case scenario, you're getting a solid, if he becomes, you know, Leighton Vander Esch, Sean Lee, like that level of player, I think that's sort of his floor. Or like a better version of Trad Greenway, right? I think that's kind of his floor. I think that worst case scenario, you're talking about probably 9-10 year starter in the NFL as his floor. Potentially, he's a multiple All Pro and maybe 2 or 3 time Pro Bowl type player. He loves football. That's not, I mean, it sounds funny because I mean, most of these guys, you can say that, but his love of football is pretty noticeable in a room full of guys that love football. One of my favorite moments of the entire combine was hearing him talk about how much he loves being coached hard. And he said, "These are, I'm going to quote him. I pretty much remember it exactly. When they get real close to you, they're yelling and the tobacco juice hits you in the face. I love that." And I thought to myself, that's a football player, right? When you say, "I love getting tobacco juice in my face from coaches getting close to you and yelling in your face." I thought, yeah. I mean, I remember writing somewhere and describing Jack Campbell that he has really two career options. One is to have been a frontier lawman in the late 1880s, but sadly, he missed his opportunity. The other one is to be a terrific NFL linebacker. He just still has a chance to do that. I think he will be a really good linebacker. I just can't imagine him being anything less than good and potentially great.
Oh, I definitely love the Chad Greenway comp there, and it's very fitting. Chad Greenway, another former Iowa Hawkeye linebacker. And if a team is looking at linebackers that could be available on day three, an option that they could very well be intrigued by is Dayan Henley of Washington State. Henley converted to linebacker from wide receiver, which makes sense given his special, and I mean special, coverage skills and ball skills. How special are they? Look no further than his four total interceptions in 2021 alone, which was his final season at Nevada before he transferred over to Wazoo. Henley is also not a bad run defender for someone who weighs 225 pounds. And given the premium NFL teams place on linebackers that could cover ground in a hurry these days, would it surprise you if Henley hears his name called in the late third round, if not sooner?
No, I also have a third round grade on. I think that he's in most people's top 100. For most people, probably somewhere between about 72, probably on the higher end. You know, some people might come even slightly more than that, but I think that he's probably somewhere between like that 72 to 90 range, right? Somewhere between 72 and 90 on most people's boards. And to me, he's like a less physically imposing version of a guy like Jamie Collins, who, like him, was a quarterback at one point, who then converted to wide receiver, who then converted to safety, who then converted to linebacker. I don't know a lot of people you can say that about, but I can say about those two, right? Both of those players played high school quarterback, were being recruited as either a wide receiver or a quote-unquote athlete, right, as they were coming out of high school. Played safety initially, then linebacker. And I could see him having a similar path.
He is Bill Carroll, ladies and gentlemen, NFL draft analyst for Team NBS Media. Follow him on Twitter at 11Bravo138. Bill, thank you so much for joining us again. But before he lets you go, it's time to play my favorite game of draft season, buy or sell. And in this game, we're going to talk about an off-ball linebacker prospect that we have not discussed yet. And you tell me whether you buy or sell his stock and explain why via a scouting report. And we start with the guy who, if you want that dime linebacker who can blitz or cover ground in your nickel defense on day three, you could be looking at DeMarvion Overshown of Texas. Do you buy or sell DeMarvion Overshown?
I'm going to sell, and not because I don't like him as a player, but I think if you look at what we've seen with Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah, I think you're going to see kind of the same thing. He is, to some extent, a special use item. And if you use him exactly the right way, you should be fairly pleased. But I see some people pushing him into the second round. I'm not buying in the second. If you're telling me I can get him in the early fourth, bring it on. But if you're talking about the second, you know, even the early part of the third, I'm going to have to pass. I just think that he is a bit more of a project than some people realize. He's pretty good in the run game. He's not as finesse maybe as Owusu-Koramoah was, but he has a lot to pick up on, a lot to grow physically. Also, he's another guy who's kind of lanky. He's about 224 pounds, but he's, you know, got a long frame, so he looks skinny. I'd like to see him get a little stronger. I'd like to see him, especially in the lower body, I'd like to see him not quote unquote take the cheese. He's the guy that misdirection can take him out of his where he should be and open up the defense to giving up big plays. So if he gets better with his eyes, better eye discipline, gets a little stronger, yeah, you got a really good football player there. So I'm not selling him because I don't like him. I'm selling him because I hear people pushing him farther up the board than I like.
Yes, I would sell him on day two, but definitely buy him on day three in the early fourth. We are in agreement there. And Henry To'o To'o out of Alabama, if you're looking for a hard hat, lunch pail kind of player who can become your defensive signal caller. He could be the guy on day three. Do you buy or sell that with Henry Toto?
Oh, day three. Yeah, I'm fine with it. The only thing that worries me about him is he's not great in space. And the game is moving more and more towards having to play in space. When he's on the field, the other team's going to try to make him cover because that's going to be a bit of a challenge for him. He's fine in the run game. He's super smart. He can run your defense. He can be a green dot guy because he understands defense at a high level because, well, he played for Nick Saban, who throws a lot at you. So if you can understand the defense that you run there, you'll be able to fairly quickly absorb an NFL defense. But he's not super athletic. He's not terribly big either. He's a medium-sized to even slightly, not undersized, but, you know, average-ish sized and slightly below average athlete at the position. So that nowadays is more of a problem than it used to be. 30 years ago, no big deal, because teams rarely would attack you with slots, especially, you know, you would see maybe a handful of running backs that you had to worry about. Very few slot receivers that really had to worry about. Nowadays, every team has a dynamic slot receiver, and every team has at least one running back who's really good at receiving the ball down the field. So Toa might be more of a like two down player now, and that reduces his value.
Of course. Absolutely, but that headiness, as both you and I alluded to, can push him up some teams' boards on day three because he has the potential to be that green dot guy that can call your defense. Yasir Abdullah of Louisville. Buy or sell Yasir Abdullah.
I'm a big fan of his. And he's another one of those guys that can be also sort of a hybrid pass rusher in addition to what he does as a more traditional linebacker. So he can play Sam or maybe even Mike for you. And actually is good athletic. I mean, he could, I guess, potentially play all three spots, but I like him best as a Sam. And then he stays on the field on third down and reduces down, comes up, and is that, once again, add-on pass rusher, right? That gives him added value. We talked about reduced value because Toa is not a great blitzer. He's not great in coverage. So on third down, what does he do? With Yasir Abdullah, he can walk up and he can beat, well, the tight ends definitely, and possibly even some offensive linemen just, you know, as a pure pass rusher. There's a lot to like about him. And I think that the NFL, sort of mark my words, if you're talking about somebody that we're talking about, of all the guys we talked about, who may go higher, a lot of the guys that I talked about, I think may go lower than expected. Here's one I think may go higher than expected. Do not be shocked if he fights his way towards the bottom part of the second, even. That's sort of, I think, where the market starts on him. He's more likely a third round guy, but I will not be shocked at all if he fights his way into the bottom half or bottom end of the second.
Yeah, Bill has a lot of NFL connections, so thank you very much for that intel there on Yasir Abdullah. Ventrell Miller of Florida. Buy or sell Ventrell Miller?
So I'm going to sell, once again, sort of like when I sold before, not because I don't like the player, but because I'm hearing, once again, some rumblings about him going earlier than I'm comfortable with. Things I like about Ventrell Miller. A lot of the linebackers we've talked about thus far, with the exception, obviously, of Jack Campbell, are a little more, I won't say undersized, but they're smaller than a few years ago. We talk about players getting bigger, stronger, faster, and it's not always true. The inside linebackers are actually trending downward, David, in terms of weight. Height's about the same, but they're trending downward in terms of weight. And Miller at 232 isn't huge, but most of the guys we're talking about are in the upper 220s, right? Campbell's a big guy. Like, Campbell's big. He's a full-size linebacker. He's, you know, that's the guy that gets off the bus first of all the guys we've talked about so far. But Henley, Toa, almost every guy we talked about is under 230. So they're actually trending down. But Miller is old-school tough guy in a lot of ways. A good enough athlete. But once again, a guy that you may sometimes worry about just a little bit. He's also a guy, we talked about reading keys. That's a little bit of a concern. I think sometimes he needs to see it a couple of times and then he trusts himself. He needs to speed up that process a little bit. And he just isn't, like I said, a terrific athlete. His range and speed are a little bit below average. And another guy that may be forced to be a two down guy. And the last thing that worries me just a little bit is he doesn't always take the world's best angles. So he's not a guy who's really great in coverage. He isn't efficient enough to make up for his athletic limitations. So to me, I'm selling unless you're telling me I'm getting him, you know, hey, in the sixth round, bring it all to me. But if you're talking about in the fourth or even the early part of the fifth, I'm going to pass.
Ventrell Miller, as you mentioned, doesn't have a world-beating athleticism, but this guy absolutely tore it up at the combine. Owen Papo of Auburn. Buy or sell Owen Papo.
So what do you think Owen Papo is? I would answer this question. So if you're saying he's going to be a special teams guy and a dime linebacker and play in certain situations, then yes, bring it on. Once again, that's yes. If you think he's going to be a starter early in his career at any linebacker position, I have to disagree. So I love his athletic ability. I love how explosive he is, how fast he plays. He plays fast as well as running fast. I don't think he's got an issue with fear, which means he'll do well on special teams. But his eyes are slower than his body. That's another guy who's got to really work on his eyes. He can cover, and that will give him a chance to hang around the league while he picks up other things. And he's decent against the run game, but once again, another guy that takes some adventurous angles and not always the kind of adventurous that you like. I'd like to see him. He has the speed to run his way back into a play after he runs his way out of a play, but I'd like him to not run his way out of the play first, right? I like to see him, you know, stay with the correct read, which sometimes that's just a time issue. You know, sometimes it's just a seeing it more and more times issue. But there are some things like to build on, to like about him. And yeah, I mentioned some of them already, but he definitely bites on play action a lot. And he gets blocked. I mean, once again, he's a smaller backer. So when he gets blocked, he's blocked. He's really blocked. I like to see him get better in terms of that and get a little stronger. But there's a lot there. Like I said, a lot there for the work. He's never really played at the level that his athletic ability would seem to dictate.
Hence why he will likely be a day three pick. And the Tulane Green Wave, they have another interesting prospect at this class. So we talked about Taiji Spears, the running back. They have an interesting linebacker named Dorian Williams. Do you buy or sell Dorian Williams out of
Tulane? I'm buying Dorian Williams. I am a very big Dorian Williams fan. I think that, especially if I'm getting him anytime from like the very end, like compensatory picks in the third, like those end of the, really after the end of the third round sort of, compensatory picks. If I get him there, I feel great about it. I think he's an eventual starter. I think he is a guy that has a certain amount of versatility. I think that there's multiple schemes into which he could fit. And he's, you know, once again, I hate to sort of stereotype Tulane players, but he is really smart. He is a smart player. And while he's not huge, once again, 228 pounds, Under a lot of under 230s in this linebacker group, like I said before, he plays tough. He ran fast. He's got just enough size. Once again, I know I'm trending old again, but for those who don't know if you remember, my comparison for him is Jesse Armstead. For those who remember Jesse Armstead, longtime Dallas Cowboy from Dallas Carter High School, I think. I think he's a guy from Dallas, went to Miami and then played for Coach Jimmy Johnson, right back for Jimmy Johnson, reunited in Dallas. But yeah, once again, the things that you look for nowadays is fluidity, capable of operating in space, can cover a little bit. But he hits like a linebacker, even though he doesn't look huge. He brings it. He's got that hip snap that allows him to bring more force than a guy that he looks like. He looks like a strong safety, right? But you know, Darren Woodson, right? But he when he hits you, you feel all that linebacker in him. He's got a good awareness in zone coverage. He's got good instincts. He can anticipate. Only thing that I would really sort of, he's not the most loose in the lower body. So even though he's a very quick guy, he doesn't change direction quite as much as I'd like. I wish his balance were a little better. I wish he wrestled in high school. I wrestled in high school and in college, so I always wanted to see guys wrestle. But one of the things it gives you is really good balance. It's hard to take a wrestler off their feet. I wish he had a little more of that. But I like almost everything else about him. I wish he had better change of direction, and I wish he had better balance, but like almost everything else.
Noah Sewell, the younger brother of Detroit Lions offensive tackle Penei Sewell. Buy or sell Noah Sewell?
So, once again, whether I'm buying or not comes down to how much you want me to pay. But if I'm getting him day three, all day long. I see some people trying to push him up, you know, towards day two. I'm going to have to pass. But day three, yes. I think he's going to be a guy that is part of package situations, special teams for probably a year, maybe two, and then as a starter for 6 or 7 years afterwards. And once again, a guy who clearly loves football, a guy who can be your green dot guy, another guy that's, you know, a little on the smaller side. I mean, despite the fact that you look at Penei, it's like, I mean, were they eating dinner together? Because you, I mean, and don't get me wrong, no, it's not little. But when you look at him next to Penei, it's, if he stands next to other people, it's not so bad. You know, oh, okay, but he stands next to his brother. It's like, what? But things I like about him, he's a guy that really, really wants to be great. Like, he's going to work, and he's young. He's one of the youngest players in the whole draft class. He is not even 21 years old yet, right? So he's a redshirt sophomore, and he'll grow into some things. So you get a guy who still has some mental and physical growing to do. That is both a good thing and a bad thing. I mean, it's a good thing in that you know that you're getting a guy with a lot of upside. And one of the biggest, even though he's very small next to his brother, he's one of the biggest linebacker prospects in the draft class. 6'1.5", 246 pounds. Arm length isn't amazing, but, you know, 6'1 5/8" is above the threshold. 10-inch hands. So you can tell that there's a decent-sized frame with which to work. And he can do a little bit of everything as a linebacker. And despite the fact that, you know, he's a younger guy, he still was a 3-year starter, right? Started right out of the gate. So it's weird because of the COVID year that, you know, he's listed as a sophomore, though he's a 3-year starter, threw everything off. But, you know, we just have to roll through it. If he can become a little more anticipatory, can see it faster, right? We have to talk about that. With linebackers, there are certain positions where your actual time speed, while it is important, can be somewhat either implemented, like enhanced, or can be diminished simply by how quickly you can see what's happening and be correct in what you see as happening. One of my favorite examples is Lopa Tatupo, right? Lopa Tatupo was a guy that tested somewhere between average to below average in almost everything he tested physically. But I remember hearing a scout say about him, I'd rather have a guy that is 4'7" and is running the right direction all the way, all the time, that a guy that's 4'5" who half the time is running in the wrong direction. So this is Sewell, going to run in the right direction pretty much all the time. Needs to see a little faster, but he is strong enough that he can hold the point. He has strong hands. He's improved a lot already, even though he's very young. I just need him to improve his instincts. I need him to improve, once again, angles, right? We talk about this a lot. Take the right angle, attack the right shoulder. I need him to, for a guy that is as strong as he is, he doesn't always understand how to stack and shed. And that's a learned skill. I mean, I get that. And guys do it less now because the run game isn't as prevalent. You know, 40 years ago, every interior linebacker did a stack and shed because your job was mostly to come down against the run. Now, you have to do more and more in coverage. And that's probably his biggest weakness. Once again, a guy I'm worried about on third down because he's not amazing in coverage, but I like him nonetheless.
Another linebacker that was being hyped up on Twitter yesterday by Senior Bowl director Jim Nagy, and another guy who could be a stack backer and a pass rusher, Ivan Pace Jr. of Cincinnati. Buy or sell Ivan Pace Jr.?
So once again, comes down to how much you're asking me to buy, what price you're asking me to buy. But he's, you know, a smaller guy once again, you know, a couple inches under feet, or almost 2 inches under, 6 feet tall, 227 pounds. So he's not little, but he's squat. And he's a good enough athlete. But I think another guy with very little bust potential. I would say amongst the linebacker group, he's probably the guy with maybe the second or third lowest bust potential, where you may not get a superstar. He may not be amazing, but he's going to make your team and he's going to play some. If he doesn't become a starter, he's going to be a valuable special teamer and a valuable guy who helps you in certain packages. He covers well enough, not amazing, but well enough. He can cover a little bit in man. He's pretty decent in zone. And as long as you don't let guys, you know, come at him uncovered, like if guards get out on him without anybody sort of absorb the blow, yeah, he can get knocked around just because he's a smaller guy. But if he gets a chance to roam free, you know, in a defense, he's going to cause havoc for the offense. He's a guy that has enough of everything that I think he's going to make a team and help. Not just make a team, but make a team and then help them, you know, be an important part of that team's, like I said, even if he's not a starter, I think he could start in a lot of situations. He's a surprisingly good pass rusher and blitzer for a guy that doesn't look like he should be. You know, look at him and you're thinking, oh, that guy, you know. Dexter Coakley, Dat Nguyen, you know, you think about some of those sort of short Sam Mills sort of sawed off linebacker types, and usually they're not pass rushers. Normally they're guys who are, well, those, the guys that I just mentioned are almost all run pluggers, Derek Brownlow, right? Those, and a bunch of those guys played for the Cowboys. So the Cowboys at least one point didn't mind sawed off linebackers because Dat Nguyen and Derek Brownlow and Dexter Coakley all played there. But he's going to help you in special teams right away. I think that he covers, like I said, there's not one thing you point to say he's amazing, right? Except maybe leadership. He's got really great leadership skills. He's a guy that people rally around and respect. And I just think he's going to be a guy that some coaching staff will fall in love with. And like I said, he'll see the field. He was not a starter for maybe right away, but he's a powerful guy. He's got really good pass rush moves. It's the funniest thing. You look at him, the last thing you think is this guy's a terrific pass rusher, but he's got, outside of the guys who are like Will Anderson types, like except for those, and those are different body types altogether, but outside of those guys like Drew Sanders and Will Anderson, he might be the next best pass rusher in the group. And he's, you know, what, 5'10¾" or something crazy? I mean, it's surprising when you look at him that he's that good a pass rusher. I'll put it that way. This isn't the guy you automatically look at and say, oh yeah, that guy's going to be very great pass rusher. He's not even quite 5'11". But I think that the other thing that sort of stands out about him when you're watching him, you know, he's smart. He's crafty. He can convert speed to power. He's got a really good feel for how a blocker is trying to defeat him and then has really good counters. He's like a miniature Trent Cole, you know, in, like I said, like a almost like a Sam Mills kind of body. It's an odd evaluation, David, because his body type and his playing style do not agree. They do not. So teams are going to have to come to grips with that, because the guy you think you're going to see when you look at his career statistics and you even look at his tape and you think, looks like he's shorter than I expected, right? But you're talking yourself out of it a little bit till you actually see him up close. It's like, oh no, he is much shorter than I thought. So he can't really anchor against even really bigger tight ends, let alone, you know, guards or tackles. And I don't know how much more size he can add, because he's got a lot packed onto his frame at 227 pounds and just a shade over 5'10". This is a tough one because I like the player so much, but his fit, somebody has to have a really good plan for how to use him, David. I mean, a really good plan for how they're going to use him. So if he goes to the right situation, he could be great. But he goes to the wrong situation, he'll be just a part-time player.
Well, that's a very good point, Bill. And whether it be Ivan Pace Jr. or even Drew Sanders or Trent Simpson, teams are going to have the absolute correct strategy to deploy a lot of these linebacker prospects, or else they won't live up to their potential. And moving right along here, buy or sell Jeremy Banks of Tennessee. Buy or sell Jeremy Banks.
I'm buying if I'm getting him, once again, mid-fifth and later. I think he will be another guy who is most likely a depth, rotational, come on in certain situations kind of player, situational player. And he may or may not ever become a full-time starter, in my opinion. I think he's a good player, though. And just because someone is, you know, a rotational guy doesn't mean he's not a valuable guy, because rotational players make big plays. You know, we've seen great plays, important plays. I mean, David Tyree was what, a fifth? I think it was, you know, the fifth wide receiver on the depth chart. He made one of the biggest plays in the history of the franchise. So just because a player is not a starter in the depth chart doesn't mean he's not important, doesn't mean he's not valuable. So I think there's a place for him. I just think he's, you know, a guy's going to come in situations. And if you're okay with that, then that's what day three is about. It's about contributors. They may not all be starters. So I like him as a contributor day three.
And contributors day three are pretty much all you could ask for, especially in the late fifth, early sixth round, as you alluded to. This guy has been lauded for his IQ. Servassier Dennis of Pittsburgh. Buy or sell Servassier Dennis.
Yeah. So once again, member of the all-name team also. I love the name. But I think he's sort of an old-school kind of linebacker. I think he really wants to come downhill. He's a very good tackler. He sees things quickly. He can click and close and just come down and, you know, grand opening, grand closing. And he can cover a little bit. I'm not saying he can't cover. I don't want to make it sound like he's a guy who's not able to cover. But it's not, well, back to the whole major minor thing. He clearly minored in pass coverage. He did not major in pass coverage. So if you're talking about a really great coverage linebacker, you're looking at guys like Henley. Like, you know, we talked about some of those guys. That's not quite his game. That's not quite what he's going to do best. But if you want to have someone play Mike linebacker, sort of the Larry Foote style, right? Yeah. That sort of mold as a linebacker. And he's a good athlete. I don't want to make it sound like he's a guy that can't, you know, live in space, but it's not the thing he's best at. He's really good coming downhill. He's explosive. He's really explosive. I mean, this is a guy that had a 41.5-inch vertical. That's rare. I mean, we're talking Michael Jordan territory.
Practice. Whoa.
Yeah, I mean, he's a terrific, explosive athlete. And my main concerns, and like I said, they aren't overwhelming, but I think sometimes he'll overrun plays. I think at times he really struggles, once again, getting off blocks. And like I said, stacking and shedding, I think because of the way the game has moved more and more towards space, some of these guys just haven't done it that much, maybe. So that might be why he's not great at it. His actual point of, you know, like at the point of attack, he's not a powerhouse exactly. And part of it is just due to, I mean, he's not tiny. He's right at 6 feet tall at 226 pounds. Once again, the under 230 club, which is most of these guys. So I don't want to keep hammering away at it, but I think about like guys like, you know, Brian Cox and John Offerdahl. And, you know, like there was a time when these guys were like 6'3", 6'4", and LaVon Kirkland was 272. Whoa. On his lightest day, right? I mean, he used to get people to joke around about him being like a biscuit away from being a defensive tackle. So clearly people are moving away from those really huge body linebackers, but I like Servassier Dennis. I really do. And I think I'd love to have him stay in Pittsburgh. I'd love to have him, you know, wear the black and gold. But once again, it's the marketplace. If I'm getting him in the second half of the third, yes, please bring it on. I love that.
Yeah, Servassier Dennis, given his football intelligence, sounds like a Mike Tomlin kind of player to me. And Bill, you know a lot more about HBCU prospects more than most other draft analysts in the Twitterverse. Aubrey Miller Jr. of Jackson State, buy or sell Aubrey Miller Jr.?
I'm buying all of the Aubrey Miller stock, all of it. Bring me all the Aubrey Miller that you could bring me. So things about Aubrey Miller, and he's a guy that had a little bit of something to prove, right? And which is always the case with players that people maybe are a little less aware of, a little less sold on. And I see people projecting him into the seventh round. Some people. I don't think he lasts that long. I think that some smart NFL team is going to move on him around earlier than that, probably. I'm thinking somewhere in the sixth. Concerns. Well, we talked about this before. He is, once again, more of a linebacker of the past than a linebacker of the future in some ways. 229 pounds. I'm pretty sure he played heavier than that. I'm assuming he slimmed down to try to run faster at the combine. Didn't really work out. He didn't run a great time. But I truly believe that if you are okay with a guy that may, once again, have to come off the field sometimes in certain situations. But, you know, he has really good instincts. Despite not being huge, is still pretty strong. He does have violent hands. He does, unlike so many of the guys we talked about, he knows how to disengage from blockers. Thank you. Thank you for giving me a linebacker that does know how to disengage from blockers. He really can do it violently. He's got powerful hands for a guy that's not huge. He can play the mic. And I think that gives him a shot because he can play the mic even though he's not huge. He can play Sam even though he's not huge. But Will is the position he's played most in his career, but I think his athletic limitations may force people to move him either to the middle or the strong side. And like I say, he's got good feet and good feel. He is a guy that takes the right path, unlike some of the people we talked about who are not quite as efficient. Doesn't have fantastic range. Might end up being a two-down, like I said, a high-quality, but a two-down player. And he just doesn't have, like, the great straight-line speed or the great fluidity to be a really great coverage player. But he's got everything else you could ever want. And even if he ends up being a short-yardage goal-line specialist and a special teamer, I could see him having a nice long NFL career.
And last but not least, in buy or sell, Mohamed Diabate of Utah. Buy or sell Mohamed Diabate.
And the thing about this, it's going to sound like a broken record. I wish I could say that these guys don't remind me a lot of each other, but they are a lot like each other. There's a lot of these guys that have a lot of similar strengths and weaknesses in this class. That's what makes a guy like Jack Campbell so different from everyone else in the class, is he does have the size you're looking for. He can actually cover. And then you throw in on top of all that stuff that he is absolutely outstanding as a run, off the charts character, all that stuff. But getting back to the person you just asked about, Diabate. So the USC game is a great game to watch. If you want to get, in fact, all the USC games, both this year and last year, are games that really help you to understand. And he's a good size. Once again, not huge, but 6'3 and 3'8", 229. Put up good to above average in terms of everything you asked for in terms of production and things like that. Unfortunately, was not able to work out at the combine, but you know, you could tell once you watch him on tape, there's things that you really do like. He's played both a fair amount of man and a fair amount of zone. They do switch up coverages a decent amount at Utah, so you know, to do both. He's a good blitzer. He's, once again, just based on tape, he looks like a good overall athlete. He can come downhill. One of the better tacklers. I'd say probably a top five tackling linebacker in this draft class. Knows how to, as they sift through the trash, right? A guy who can manage to stay on his feet in those situations. He's lean. Like to see him put on a little bit of weight, which I think he should be capable of doing. Another guy that doesn't have the world's best balance. And once again, stacking and shedding. We mentioned one or two guys like Jack Campbell and the aforementioned Aubrey Miller seem to really understand how to do it. The rest of this draft class seems to be not really well-versed in stacking and shedding, getting blockers off them. He can be sometimes a little bit too aggressive. He doesn't, though he's a decent pass rusher, he mostly does everything the same way. And NFL blockers will pick up on that and he'll get stonewalled because he tends to use the exact same move all the time. He'll need to develop some counters. And he can get, once again, a little greedy in zone coverage. So, and by that I mean, very often somebody in zone will, you know, the high-low concept is, you know, post over dig, right? The dig occupies a defender who moves up enough to open up space for you to get the ball to the players running the post route. Snag, right? Smash route concepts, curl flat. There's all these high-low concepts take advantage of aggressiveness of players, whether it be man or zone. And in zone, you're supposed to make sure that you take away the most dangerous thing first. Sometimes he doesn't do that. Sometimes he attacks the underneath route and lets someone get over the top of him. He needs to be more careful about that. But yeah, there's a lot to like about him. And if I'm getting him around pick, say, 130, I'm loving it.
Bill Carroll, ladies and gentlemen, NFL draft analyst for Team NBS Media. Follow him on Twitter at 11Bravo138. Bill, thank you so much once again for joining us. And that's it for today here on Sports Crunch. But we'll be back in just a few days with the third stop on our annual NFL draft divisional tour as we pay a visit to the AFC South and our good friend Cole Thompson. So stay tuned. Also, be sure to follow me on Twitter at DCrom59 and on Instagram and now TikTok at Sports Crunch with DCrom. And remember, that's Crunch with AK. For Bill Carroll, this is David Cromelo saying so long, and whatever you do, please choose love, please choose kindness, please choose compassion, please choose selflessness, and please choose empathy, which are the core characteristics of the best teammates and teams in all sports. Until next time, cats, kittens, stay cool.